Thanks, Kim. Going back over this past week, some of the more important data reads in the US came out over the Easter break, because there's only a partial holiday there. And what they're showing is that the US economy is still performing pretty well. We got some sense of that, even with the revision of Q4 GDP that came out middle of last week. And Q4 GDP was already looking pretty strong at 3.2% annualized. It got revised upwards to 3.4%. And the main contribution to that upward revision was that real consumer spending lifted to 3.3% annualized from 3.0 in the initial reading. So, you know, the past looks strong. Yesterday we had the Atlanta Fed. They put out their GDP tracker for Q1 GDP. They're one of the few groups that does this, where they take all the data and look at, you know, how GDP is tracking for the first quarter. And their tracker had a big upward revision from 2.2% to 2.8%. So if anything, you know, the strength has continued into Q1. And some of the data reports late last week confirmed that too. We had February personal income came out, personal spending. Personal income was up 0.3%, and that came after a 1% rise the month before. So putting the 2 months together, that's pretty strong. Personal spending, though, was expected to be up 0.5%. It was up 0.8%, and that was after a 0.2% increase the month before. And then just overnight, we had the March ISM, Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, came out. Now, this is the weakest part of the U.S. economy, and it was expected that this would come in around about 48.5. Going back a month ago, we were down at 47.8, so we were tracking below the 50 expansion contraction marker. It came in at 50.3, so it's gone from 47.8 to 50.3 in 1 month. But the more alarming part of it is that we get all sorts of sub-indicators in that relating to sales and prices that manufacturers have to pay. The prices paid went from 50 to 55. There's a bit of supply chain inflation pressure starting to show through again. And, that won't have been helped, of course, with a major port dealing with exports and imports of cars and also other manufactured goods. Of course, you know, was knocked out by the bridge going down at Baltimore. There's just some pressure points in here, where for the time being, you know, markets, risk asset markets are happy that the U.S. economy is doing so well. You know, it's actually looking pretty robust. But there is a downside to this, and that is it can get in the way of getting interest rates down. The rates can come down if you get some sort of extreme event, which suggests that the U.S. economy is going to slow, if you ended up with some more problems running through the regional banks or whatever. Barring that, the things are getting in the way of the Fed starting to bring interest rates down. And that's the way we'll be looking at the data this week, really. It's a quieter week. But the key readings are non-farm payrolls when they come out on Friday. The most recent non-farm payrolls for the month of February was up 275,000, so still very strong. Market thinks that non-farm payrolls, when they come out on Friday, will be up 198,000. Also, average hourly earnings that come out with that same report, it looks as if they're going to get very sticky, above 4% year on year. The market's looking for 0.3% month-on-month gain for average hourly earnings. And if that's where they come in, it will keep the annual rate of change at 4.3% year-on-year, which is well north of where the Fed needs it. The Fed needs that to come back to around about 3.5% if it's going to get inflation down to its target 2% anytime in the nearer term. One or two of the other indicators that are coming out this week we'll be watching, even though we've got non-farm payrolls coming out, incidentally, the unemployment rate is expected to still be below 4%. It's expected to come in at 3.9%, the same as the month before on Friday. But just another one of those indicators of tightness in the labour market, just watching initial jobless claims on a weekly basis. And they continue to sit down. at 210,000-ish. They were 210,000 last week. They expect to be around that same sort of mark for the current week. And at that level, the labour market's still very, very tight. So watching that. Also, just a bit earlier in the week on Wednesday, we had obviously this morning the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, and that was strong. But we get the Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, the ISM one, coming out on Wednesday for the month of March. It was at 52.6, had a bounce, and was quite strong going back in February. Market's thinking 52.5, that would still be a strong reading. Every aspect of the US economy at the moment continues to perform. It's just a touch slower in growth than where it's been, but essentially it's growing well. And that in turn has obviously implications for how easily you can get interest rates down. Moving to China, over the course of the weekend, we've had some indicators coming out from there, and they've been on the stronger side too. So we had the official March Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index came out. That lifted to 50.8, well above expectations of 50.1, from 49.1 the month before. We had their Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index came out. That lifted to 53 from 51.4. So, that was pretty firm. And just this morning, early, we had the Caixin Manufacturing PMI came out. And that's for the month of March. That one lifted from 50.9 to 51.1. Reasonably firm data coming out from China. Whether it'll convince anybody, most people's view about China is it's an economy which is struggling, but these lead indicators are definitely looking a little bit better. And the March Caixin non-manufacturing PMI comes out on Wednesday this week. That was at 52.5. Looks as if it'll hold around that sort of level when it comes out. Out of Australia last week, we had some indicators which suggest that things here are not unduly weak as well. We had February credit data came out. Credit has now risen by 0.5% month on month, 2 months in a row. So that's the credit outstanding by lending by major banks and other financial institutions. That's holding up pretty well. We also have February retail sales. They lifted by 0.3% month on month. That follows a gain of 1.1% going back the month before. So at this stage, retail sales are running quite a bit firmer through the first quarter of this year relative to the last quarter of last year or the third quarter of last year. Now, there appears to have been a discrete lift running through retail sales. So that's looking a little bit stronger. We also had the February CPI. This is now held down 3.4% month on month for the last 3 months. It was 3.4% again for the month of February. It was expected to lift very slightly, but it's just getting to a sticking point now. It's good that it's down here towards 3.4%. But not enough to really get excited because there's plenty of signs inside the monthly CPI. It's going to be very hard going getting it much below this. And, of course, the Reserve Bank at some point is going to need it between 2 and 3% before it can start to get comfortable about cutting rates. This week in Australia, we had the minutes of the last RBA meeting. There's probably less note of that than there used to be because we get so much commentary around the time of the meetings now. But they're out at 11:30 this morning. We'll also get ANZ job ads for the most recent month. Going back a month, they were down by 2.8%. These are coming off the top, but they're still up around about 30 to 40% year on year. So still relatively strong on a year on year basis. We'll also get on Thursday home building approvals. Home building approvals have been pretty soft. This is the supply side of housing and is adding to the pressure points on house prices because we just can't build these new homes, not because we don't want to, it's basically because we just haven't got the resources to do it. They're tied up elsewhere, and we could actually make a very high immigration rate, even higher, but that's probably not a great solution. There is some expectation that they may lift a bit by 3.2% for the most recent month. That may sound like a big figure. It's because we've had over the last 2 months home building approvals fall by 11% over the last 2 months. So it's a little bit of a modest rebound off a very weak level. We also get Australia's trade balance coming out right at the end of the week. And at this stage, that looks still strong. We have had some toing and froing in some of the prices, but we're roughly running $11 billion trade surpluses month in, month out at the moment. So, that's still pretty strong, and no sign that that's really going to weaken off too much. Moving to Europe, very little in the way of data there. We had business consumer confidence came out, that their index for that. It's actually lifted a little to 96.3 from 95.5. This week in Europe, we get quite a number of readings which will have some bearing on whether in April the ECB will give an even stronger hint that they're getting towards a rate cut. For example, on Wednesday, we get the March preliminary CPI and also the core CPI. They're important readings. And last month, the headline CPI was down to 2.6, and the core CPI was at 3.1%. Bearing in mind that Christine Lagarde, the president of the ECB, at the last meeting was saying that they could see a path where inflation could get down to 2% by the middle of the year in Europe, and that was the strongest hint yet that maybe they might be able to cut rates at some point around the middle part of the year. At this stage, the expectation for the March preliminary CPI is only a modest fall to 2.5 from 2.6, and the core CPI is looking sticky at 3% from 3.1%. At those levels, they're not really that exciting in terms of the ECB having leeway, but if they come in a little bit lower than that, then it could get things, it could make for a little bit more excitement around what the ECB might do. The thing that's stopping them, of course, is the very tight labour market in Europe, and the unemployment rate for February comes out on Wednesday as well. Last month it was down at the lowest level in a quarter of a century at 6.4%. Even though you've got an economy there which is bordering recession, the labour market is still very tight, and it's expected that the unemployment rate will stay at 6.4% for the month of February. And then right at the end of the week, we get things like retail sales coming out in Europe. These have actually lifted a little bit in this quarter. They're not strong, but you were getting big negative month-on-month figures going back in the last quarter of last year. January, retail sales in Europe lifted by 0.1%, and in February, they're expected to have lifted another 0.3%. It's this story which has gone under the radar of most analysts that this first quarter of this year, in most economies, things are actually looking rather stronger than most people would have expected if you asked them before the turn of the year. That in itself is good in some senses. It means that we're, if anything, recession risk is diminishing, and diminishing quite a bit. But it also means that it's just making it that much trickier for the central banks. And at the moment, the bond markets had a bit of a pause running through March, where, if anything, they rallied a bit on the expectations that we could get started with these interest rate cuts before long, at least in places like Europe. This could easily recede. There's the way the data's running, the pressures might start to come back to the interest rate market in the sense of just forcing bond yields a little bit higher again before we go much further. So just watching the developments through this, but for the most part, these economic indicators are looking firmer than might have been expected at this point.